and Jess. Mornings on Mix 106.5.
You know what we need. You know what we need. Let's just get right to it today. No BS. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
One more sleep. One more sleep. One more sleep.
We got no time to mess around today, people. We needed that one today, man. For some of y'all, that could be the last one you get for the school year. What? Hopefully you put your heart and your soul into it. Man, yeah. Welcome to Thursday, everybody. Charlotte loves to, in case you don't know, you wouldn't know this unless you kind of sporadically have picked up on this, but in the studio, we come in every day, and Charlotte loves to tell us what, like, national day it is. Mm. And today, Charlotte, it's what?
Hold up. What did I even say?
You don't even remember? This is such a big, it's always a very monumental thing for us.
Make life beautiful day.
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet.
So let's go around the studio. Who makes your life more beautiful? We're going to have a very sweet moment to start the show
that's
off today.
Wholesome.
Just one person, Jess. When I say who makes your life more beautiful, who is it?
I'm going to say Garage Boy because every morning he always sends me like the sweetest text message to start the day.
Very nice.
Very sweet.
We'll give it to Garage Boy. Okay, yeah. Charlotte, who makes your life more beautiful?
My mom. She's been a real one this week.
Okay.
And just like really, really been there and listened and been really cool. So
love
I'm
going
to say my mom this week.
Love that answer. It's you guys. It's you guys. Honestly, I enjoy coming in here and sitting here with you guys for the first. I mean, you guys start my morning every single day. We get to spend a couple hours. We laugh. We cry. We have fun together. And you guys you make my life more beautiful. So I appreciate you guys.
That was so nice.
So that is the enrichment part of the show today. Everything else is trash. So we're just going to warn you before you get into this making life beautiful day on today's show.
Now.
These are the top three trending stories in the city.
The Baltimore top three. With Jess. Number three.
A graduate of Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore is joining NASA's 2027 Artemis III crew as a mission specialist. Andre Douglas earned a Master of Science in Electrical and Computer Engineering from Johns Hopkins University in 2019. And before his time at NASA, Douglas spent almost 7 years at Johns Hopkins University. Artemis III will be his first space flight, but not his first Artemis mission. And the Artemis III mission is set to launch in late 2027. Now, Baltimore native Reed Wiseman served as mission commander for Artemis II and was recognized as a hero and an inspiration at a Baltimore County Council meeting earlier this month.
This might be an ignorant question, but is there a reason we have a lot of astronauts from here, or is it just a coincidence, you know?
Well, NASA is located in Greenbelt, so
yeah.
I do wonder if that's why we have so many people from the DMV. Like,
right.
That's where my dad works.
Right.
Okay.
So I would assume
maybe
there's some connection there.
Sure, maybe.
That's one of the NASA locations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number two.
The 2026 FIFA Men's World Cup officially kicks off today with the inaugural game featuring Mexico taking on South Africa. The United States will enter the competition on Friday, taking on Paraguay in Los Angeles, and the game is scheduled to begin at 9. And many restaurant chains are celebrating with a lot of fun and special food and drink items. McDonald's launched their FIFA World Cup 26 meal earlier this week, but now they've officially launched the kids version. So the FIFA World Cup 26 Happy Meal that's available now. Auntie Anne's is also offering a new Pitch Pack Plus limited edition soccer merch today. And Crumble is releasing new soccer inspired flavors with some international flair with their new soccer bundle boxes today through Saturday.
Number one.
Another Jump Street movie is in the works with the franchise stars Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill, and Ice Cube all in talks to reprise their original roles. Now it's going to be 24 Jump Street. Yes, this is the third film in the series following the 21 Jump Street and 2014's 22 Jump Street. And as for the odd title, if you're wondering, did they skip 23? Yes, they did. The screenplay that they posted on Instagram with a subtitle, and it says, "It took so long to make what we had, so we had to skip one." Do you think they're just doing 24 Jump Street because 23 Jump Street sounds like a little weird? Because, like, why would you legitimately skip a number?
First of all, I don't think I realized there was a second one.
You didn't?
I don't think I did. I remember the first one. I liked it. I don't think
so
I realized
good,
there
and
was
it's
a
really
second
funny.
One. And then, yeah, why
but
did
what
they
else
skip?
Can they do? Y'all cannot pass for high school anymore. So, like, where are they going to put them?
Like, I don't.
Like, they're so.
This sounds like a stretch, man.
How much can you do?
Is this a cash grab? Like, I feel like. Are they hurting for cash and like, sure, they'll throw a movie together or what's going on?
Okay, so one thing I respect about this franchise and what they've done with 21 Jump Street is that they basically, I think it's funny because they acknowledge the cash grab of it all.
Right.
So it's not like they're acting like it's not a thing. So right. And they break the fourth wall.
So they've done it well. That.
So I can appreciate it. And yeah. Especially if like you're telling me Ice Cube's going to be there and Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill, I'll watch
it. Yeah, we'll take
care.
It for that. Yeah.
This is Jess, and that's your top three on Mix 106.5. Good morning.
We don't typically do this where we tell you the thing up front, but I just found out how they were going to make the dinosaurs real in Jurassic Park, right? Originally, before they actually decided to make the animatronic dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Y'all, this would have made this movie so cheesy. It came out 33 years ago today. I don't even know how we would have taken this movie seriously. Let's talk about it today in Throwback Thursday. I don't know that it would have been the blockbuster that it would have been. I just want you to imagine Jurassic Park being taken seriously this way, and we'll talk about it, right? It's Throwback Thursday. We go back and we talk about music from back in the day. We talk about pop culture from back in the day, and we'll start with music. First one, let's go back to 2015. The number one song today, the 11th of June, was Taylor Swift and Bad Blood, which... Is this the worst Taylor song?
What is wrong?
Not the Kendrick version. Not this version.
Oh,
y'all, I'm just saying, at the Eras Tour, when I tell you the energy and the fire that was going down during this number, it truly was like one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Like, you can never take that away from me. Bad Blood.
I'm sorry, though.
It was like, crazy. Like, it was nuts.
Like, you know I'm not a Taylor fan, but
you're not?
These lyrics
really?
To me are,
no way.
Are the worst.
You mean you're not
Bad
her
Blood.
Number one I mean, biggest just, hater in the world? No way.
You've just never had girly pop drama enough to understand.
No, you're
Bad
right.
Blood,
you're right.
And you never
okay.
will.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
Fair enough. 2006 today, Chamillionaire was number one with Ridin', which... is now just used every time you post an Instagram story and your kid gets a new bike, which is fair. That's how it goes now. Like, that's how it's kind of transitioned into. This song was huge, though, y'all. This song was so hard, and now I just feel like it's just a...
It still goes hard.
Yeah, but I feel like the only time I see it now, though, is when a kid gets a new bike.
But that's your timeline.
I know. Yeah, you know, you're right. that's a transition. The transition of life. 1998 today, Brandy and Monica, which I still love this song.
They're so incredible, so amazing.
Wait, did you go
good.
To the show? You didn't go to the show.
I didn't
did
go to the show, but I obviously did a deep dive of all the videos.
Wait,
but
why did your eyes roll for so long for that? Why?
Because I was bummed that I couldn't see it. I wasn't able to go. I think I was working a Maryland tourism trip that weekend. But Brandy just did a festival in Philly, too. And everyone said that, like, she truly was probably one of the best performers of that day. Yeah. I mean, she sounds incredible.
All right. Jurassic Park came out 33, first off. Jurassic Park came out 33 years ago, so like today, I was like, what? That's crazy. Obviously, huge, made $900 million worldwide, briefly held the biggest movie in history until Titanic came out.
It came out in 93?
Yeah, which crazy, right? So originally, when they're trying to figure out, because this was pretty groundbreaking, if you remember visually, to have these dinosaurs, and they were like, how are we going to do this? And they were like, I don't know, because we've never done something like that big before. And the original concept, and I didn't know this until when I was researching this, what they were going to do was, they're like, all right, the only way we can really do this is to make it stop motion footage. Now,
dang, they were going to do clay, like scene by scene by scene by scene. Though, that poor crew, so don't do that to them.
I want you to think about, like, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, that uses stop motion. So
it's like scene by scene by scene by scene. Don't do that. All those dinosaurs. Heck no. All those chasing scenes. Heck no.
I just want you to imagine how corny that would have looked.
People.
The dinosaur chase. Like.
It's like the old school Christmas movies of like Santa, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, and Frosty the Snowman.
So Steven Spielberg saw this and was like, no. Mm-hmm. Like they did like an early test run. They were like, no.
It's not hitting the same. He's like, if I'm not scared, they're not going to be scared.
We're
it's
not
giving
doing
Santa.
That.
Yeah.
So they had to go back and make like the giant robots they use, and that's what it was. And that's Throwback Thursday for today, y'all. It's crazy.
Kramer and Jess.
$1,000.
All right, so let's go for that $1,000 in free gas from Real Farms. Caller number 10 playing this morning. Hi, who's this? Hi.
Oh, this is Lindsay.
Hello, Lindsay. You're number 10.
Hey, Lindsay.
Wait.
My daughter's in the car. I'm like, we're going to win.
You did it, Lindsay. You got through.
Wait, what's your daughter's name, Lindsay?
Her name is Ariel.
What's up, guys? What's going on?
She's going to be on the radio. She's, like, embarrassed to the nines right now.
Well, how old is she? There's an age where it's not cool.
She's eight.
Eight's still kind of cool to be on the radio. So, okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right, well, never mind. Well, what's up, Ariel? We won't point you out. All right. Well, Lindsay, let's see. Have you guys played before?
I have a long time ago.
Well, welcome back. Glad to have you here. You know how this goes. Let's refresh your memory and tell everybody else what we're about to do. Jess, how do you play this?
If you can answer 7 trivia questions in 60 seconds, you win a $1,000 Royal Farms gift card. But if you get one wrong, mispronounce one, or take longer than 60 seconds, you are out. Now remember, you can pass on the ones you don't know. You just got to say pass. And then we can go back to them only if there's time at the end. Lindsay and Ariel, okay. You ready to play?
Yes, we need this. Yes, please.
Your chance at $1,000 to Royal Farms
starts
now.
Question number one, what is a baby owl called?
A baby owl? Oh, my gosh. Ariel, you're in school. What is a baby owl called?
Or you can pass.
A baby owl.
Is it
owlet or something?
Correct.
Owlet?
Question number two. What is the name of the squirrel in the movie Ice Age? What's the squirrel in the
movie? Ariel Ice Age. What is the name of the squirrel?
What is
you never watch Ice Age? God.
You can pass.
Is it like, no, let me think.
What is the name of the
It's not that, Ariel.
What is it?
All right, I could go back though, right?
You
go
can
to
pass.
The next
Just say pass.
Let me think
just,
about
just
it.
Say pass. Just say pass.
Question
number three. What is the state capital of California? State capital.
Oh, gosh. Hold on. I can never remember which can it is. But hold on. Don't take my answer. Oh, my gosh. I just have to go for a guess here. I don't know. Wait. Ariel, do you know the capital? Oh, Sacramento.
That is correct. And that's also 60 seconds.
What are you laughing at me for?
It was so chaotic
over there.
No,
oh my gosh.
The laughing is not truly. It's just joy because you're so fun.
Yeah,
you're just so fun. Hearing the bantering and the teamwork between you and your daughter was literally just brought me so much joy today. That was
you.
Awesome.
I'm literally anxious for you right now. Oh my gosh, I was feeling your anxiety through the phone. Oh my
gosh.
But
honestly, good job on Owlet because like I didn't. How cute is that? I didn't even know there was a term for a baby owl.
It does make it a whole lot cuter. All right, let's go back.
I just went through the baby animals recently, and I appreciate that because, the chaos. I used to be an activity director in a nursing home, so when we played bingo, it went real serious.
I can tell you locked in. You went for it. All right, let's go back to two, and then we'll keep playing for fun after that, all right?
Yeah, good job on number one. We passed on to what is the name of the squirrel in the movie Ice Age? That is Scrat.
Scrat.
Yeah.
And good job on number three, the state capital of California, Sactown, Sacramento. And let's see how you guys would have done on the rest of the round. Number four, the two main minerals in your bones are phosphorus and what?
Do you know this one?
She said 6-7.
It's calcium.
Yeah, calcium is the other one. Not 6-7. Yeah.
I'm sorry. We'll go with her answer since they don't have to be right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Number five. What is the keyboard shortcut for copy on most computers?
For copy.
C-O-P-Y. Copy.
Copy. Yeah. Oh. I'm on a computer all day, and I don't know.
Control C is the shortcut.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. See, I never have to copy anything.
Well,
oh, no.
That's nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Number six right here. Which Pixar film follows a family of superheroes known as the Parr family?
Do you know that one?
The Incredibles?
The Incredibles. Good job, you guys. And last question here. Who hosted the SNL season finale this year?
Are we SNL
Oh,
fans?
My...
would know this. Stacy would know this.
My sister would know this.
It's Will Ferrell.
Been there a million times.
Just try 6-7 again. Well,
but who else, right?
Yeah,
who
Will
else
Ferrell.
Should it be?
Yeah, it's Will
but
Ferrell.
But you guys are such a joy. Please call again. This was so fun.
Yeah, you guys are fun. We'll try it again tomorrow. We'll have 7 new trivia questions. Hope you guys will try it back again, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Have a good day, you guys. The $1,000 Minute is sponsored by Royal Farms. With the ROFO Rewards app, you'll get exclusive deals every day. To join, text ROFO, R-O-F-O, to 43751. Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast.
Here's the headline. A return to spanking, question mark? There is a new study that is raising eyebrows over how younger parents are actually disciplining their kids. Despite this shift in attitudes around parenting, a surprising number of millennial and Gen Z parents say that they have spanked their kids. According to new research, about 20% of millennial and Gen Z parents admit to spanking their children. That's still lower than older generations. Nearly about half of Gen X parents said they've done the same, but it shows that the practice has not gone away. Experts are not on board on this. Pediatricians and major health organizations say that physical punishment does not lead to long-term behavioral issues, that doesn't actually teach your kids better behavior, so they do not encourage spanking your children. Reading this study actually really surprised me that 20%, that means 1 in 5 of our generation and the younger generation, still say that they spank their kids, because I feel like when we talk about spanking kids nowadays, it seems to be such a negative attitude. It seems that like a lot of us, I was spanked as a kid, and I feel like, man, we were all kind of like on board with like, we're never going to do that anymore. That seemed like so archaic. So when I read that 1 in 5 of us are still doing that, that number seemed pretty shocking to me, that like, if you look around the cars today, that means that 1 in 5 of us. Now that's people that are admitting to still spanking their kids. Now listen, I'm not a parent. So I say this as a non-parent. I don't think I would ever spank my kid, right? So hearing that number and kind of knowing the cultural shift of the way things are going, 20% seems high to me. When I tell you guys the number, and that's where it is today, people saying 1 in 5, does that surprise you?
I mean, no, because I feel like, for example, because I've seen this before. Like, my sister was like a toddler. She was barely walking and she was about to touch something hot. And I remember she was about to like put her hand on whatever that was. And out of like a gut instinct reaction, I remember my mom like grabbing her hand and being like, no, and like smacking her hand.
Yeah.
Now, is like that spanking? Do you consider that spanking? Because like that was like, did my mom like physically abuse my sister? Absolutely not. Was it like intent? Absolutely not. But it was a very much kind of like, I don't even know if she thought twice about it. And that was like, those are things that she had done to me too. And like, I didn't consider that as like an intent to hurt me or harm me. I almost saw that as like two things. One, as like a distraction, kind of like to jolt me into like, don't touch that. And then two, I think in that moment, in a split second, I don't even think she probably thought twice about it. I think that was just a reaction of like, no, don't do that, to try to keep that from happening. So I feel like that, and I, to be honest, I don't see anything wrong with that, because I can't sit here and be like, if my kid was about to touch the stove on accident, to be honest, within like less than a millisecond of a reaction, I could see myself doing that, like out of fear or something.
I don't think most parents, though, that said, again, the study out today says 20% of millennial and Gen Z parents admit to spanking their kids. I don't think that would be those, would just be the one-off situations. I don't know. That's the only research I have.
Yeah. But I'm assuming spanking is like intentional. Like, it's like, okay, you're going to get a spanking now. Like, not like a,
for being bad.
And usually it's like on the bottom, right? Am I,
again, this is the only research that I have. I don't think those one-offs would be considered parents that would be like, in an emergency situation,
right.
I would see these be parents that would say, this is how I choose to discipline my child for being bad, you know. So with that being said, I mean, does that number surprise you, Charlotte, for that?
Unfortunately, no, because I do think there's like a subset of people who have kind of like the thought process of like, I went through this
but
and I'm okay.
Yeah.
So instead of like wanting like, potentially better. I feel like it's just like, why to go through this? So why shouldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's what I, because we're not parents. And that's, I guess, what, when I read that headline, I don't know how it is today. I don't know. Cause like you're like, you guys are in the parent groups. And so y'all may be like, listen, this is how it is. This is like what we're doing, you know, because we only see it from the outside point of view. Mm-hmm. So like from the inside point, 20% may seem super low to you guys. When you hear that headline, you may be like, well, listen, everybody's still kind of spanking their kid. 20% may be the people that are just admitting it. It may still be at 50% because I don't know how many parents, if you sat them down and said, excuse me, will you fill out this survey about spanking your kids? Mm-hmm. Would they be willing to admit it? It may not be anywhere near that much, but let us know. Does that number seem low to you? Does that seem high to you? When we tell you that, you know, 20% of millennial and Gen Z parents admit to spanking their kids, you can text us 410-583-1065. Kind of curious to see how you feel about that this morning.
I got married 2 years ago, and I just started the process to change my last name this week.
Y'all, we were shocked when we found this out yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
We found that we have an uncensored podcast, in case you don't know. And that, by the way, it's uncensored. So before you go seek it out, Kramer and Jess Uncensored, just a little heads up on this. Do you want to explain why it's taking you this long to do this?
Yeah. So obviously we did a deep dive into this conversation on our uncensored podcast. But ultimately, I did not feel ready right away to change my name. And I'm keeping my maiden name, and I'm basically just adding Garage Boy's last name as well.
Yeah.
And I have always wanted to have his last name. I intended on doing that. But it wasn't until we got married that I had this feeling that I couldn't necessarily understand and identify where it was coming from. But I was going through this journey of like identity, and there was something attached to my last name, and I did not feel ready to, even though I wasn't necessarily dropping it at the time, it felt like some sort of loss. Then ultimately where I am at now, where I don't feel like I lost anything or I lost a version of myself. I think I'm just growing into another, and that doesn't necessarily mean I'm leaving anything behind. But at the moment, I didn't know why, but I just felt really, I just didn't feel ready to do it. And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say 80% of the reason why it's taking me this long is because it's a pain in the butt to change your name. I'm going to be so for real for you. But then the 20%, I kind of sat there and asked myself, like, wait, why does it feel weird for me right now? And now 2 years later, I am finally starting the process to actually change my last name.
She will now be Jess Dutra-Boy.
Exactly. So, look me up in the phone book.
So we were talking about this. We were thinking, we're like, damn, that's a long time though. That's a long time to wait to like actually go and change your name.
It is. It's been 2 years. That's a very long time.
And then of course, like in our true radio brain, we were like, wait, is that a record? Like, is that a record of someone actually taking the time between marriage and name change? Because like, why would it take so long? And like for Jess, she admits it was just, there was some digesting she had to do, but like, what else would take so long? So like in our true radio fashion,
let's turn trauma into a competition.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
If you're new, that's what we do around here. All right. Let's try to set a record this morning. Jessica Dutra-Boy currently holds the record for longest time taken between marriage and name change.
Yeah.
For really 2 years and a month, I guess.
Yeah.
Two years, one month. 2 years, 1 month. Her reasoning just wasn't quite ready and / lazy.
/ social security number.
Is there anybody listening right now that took, that's a long time.
I know it is.
Even when Jess told us this, I was like, wait, that's a long time.
Now,
we don't want, what we're not going to accept in this competition is I never change my name because that's not a good enough story.
Which is totally fine, by the way. Right. Yeah. I also wasn't like forced to do this either. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So like, you had to eventually have changed your name to be in this competition. But if you eventually did change your name, because also I want to know, like, what was the deciding factor?
Like, why were you waiting?
You know, like, finally, you, like, get off your ass to do it. If you want to be in the competition, you think you can take the record for longest time between marriage and name change, you can beat Jess. This is Melissa in Arbutus. Melissa, how long did it take you to go from marriage to name change?
So I got married October 2nd, 2015, but I didn't change my name until January 2019.
So 4 years.
4 years?
4 years-ish.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing, because I feel less alone.
What took you so long? Why dragging your feet on that?
There was two things. One was it's a pain in the rear.
Yes, for real, okay. Y'all.
Second is that my daughters, we all had the same last name. Mm. So I felt weird about changing it, like they were so little.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband was like, what's the problem?
What's the deal? This husband would also be like, what's the deal? What's going on here? Are we doing this or are we not?
See, and I just think There needs to be a little more grace and understanding from the person who doesn't lift a finger.
You had 4 years.
Right.
Let's get down to that Social Security office. Let's get that thing updated. You got 4 years.
Well, the funny thing is when I went there, the lady at the Social Security office goes, I just want you to know that you can only change your name 7 times. And I was like,
wait,
is anyone trying to do it for an eighth?
That means somebody had to have come in there an eighth time and get turned away. So that's good to know.
Okay.
That's good to know. Just there's somebody right now listening on their 7th time. So just heads up on that. So thank you for that heads up. I thought that may be a record. There's somebody actually a little bit ahead of you. Thank you for calling. Who is this, Jess?
This is Jessica on 4 in Stevensville.
Jessica, good morning.
Good morning.
You can beat 4 years in between marriage and name change, and yours is what?
Mine is 5.5 years.
Wow. Okay.
2 kids later.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you. I really appreciate this.
What took you 5.5 years to change your name after you got married? What in the world?
It was like post-COVID, and they wanted me to mail in like all my like most important documents, which I did not want to do.
No, that's
scary. The instructions were so confusing.
They are, you guys. Then, they are. The instructions and the rules, and you have to do it in a specific order or you can't do it and you have to start all over.
Yes. And so it just felt like it was so overwhelming. And so I'm not going to lie. Like after that, I was like, yeah, I think I'll just like hold on. I also did love my last name. I wanted to keep it.
Yeah.
And
wait, can we ask what your maiden name was?
Irving.
Irving. And what is your married name?
Jackson.
Ew, yeah. Irving
I mean, it's
was better.
A different vibe.
Irving was better.
It's okay. A different vibe. That's a vibe you have to adjust to. That's fair.
There are literal gas stations named Irving. I was proud of that.
Yeah. You get attached. I'm telling you. Yeah. It's an identity journey that I don't think you're prepared for until
like
you
it
arrive.
As much.
It's
yeah.
true.
You had to give that one up. That sucks. That does suck.
And my husband said after 2 babies, because when you have a baby, they give the mother's last name to them.
Oh.
After 2 babies with not his last name. Technically in the hospital, he was like, hey girl, after the 7th day, we're going to the Social Security office and we're going.
Hey girl.
That's how you knew it was serious.
Wait, I didn't know that. I did not know that about the babies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey girl, listen, we
I
gotta.
Didn't either. Yeah. And then after the first baby, I was like, oops. And then the second baby, I said I would do it. And then I didn't. And then he was like, yeah.
He's
I'm escorting you. We're going together.
Yeah. He's like, get in the car.
Hey girl.
I'm driving to the Social Security office with you right now.
Yeah.
Not hey girl.
But everything's fine.
I mean, is it? Is it fine now?
Yeah,
are
she's
things
fine.
Good?
Okay. Miss Jackson right. is fine.
Yeah. Everything's great. And honestly, once you get over the hump after you get your escort to the Social Security office, it is a lot easier.
Escort?
Not escort.
But I truly.
Oh
yeah.
My God, this has been a great
get
call.
The escort. It's
I'm,
nice.
I'm so happy you called
I appreciate
today. Okay.
You.
All right. I don't think anyone's going to be able to beat that. I think you're going to have the record for the highest. We're going to try. If anybody can beat, it took me more than 5.5 years. Now, again, if you never change your name, don't call. But if it took you longer than 5.5 years to change your name legally, we need to know what took so long. Wait, who's this on 4?
This is Rachel in Churchville on 4.
Rachel, good morning.
Good morning.
Rachel, it took you how long to go from marriage to name change?
About 10 years.
What?
10 years.
What in the world took you 10 years? Were you just not sure?
Like,
just did you want an exit plan just in case?
Of course not.
What happened?
We like to travel, and our passports, I had my married name for such a long time
that I just haven't done it yet.
Okay, can I? And I just want to give her some understanding there. And I relate to that because I will say the reason why I didn't do it, aside from like my internal feelings that like we got into on the Uncensored podcast, the reason why I didn't do it immediately was because of the honeymoon that we were going on after the wedding.
Yes, fine.
So I prolonged because I didn't want to go through the whole passport thing. So it's like if you're traveling a lot, like you're mentioning, Rachel, that because that process is not just a couple of weeks. That's a month. I mean, months long process.
30, 60 days. I got 90
days. So
if y'all are
traveling all over the place, I get it.
10 years. I mean, did your partner have a problem with this?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what? Like what? Eventually, were you like, all right, it's been a decade. Maybe it's time now.
My kids, basically, I have two kids that have my husband's last name still, and legally, when I have to write my legal last name, I get tired of it. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Match.
They were going to college. It was time, I guess, you know? It was God, 10 years is wild. Okay, as crazy as that sounds, it doesn't set the record. So feel good about that. Thank you
thank
for calling.
Thank you, Rachel.
She said, sure. Okay, good.
You can let him know. Yeah, go let him know.
She's like, we won't be in a fight about this tonight because luckily, Michelle from Bel Air, hang on. Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Michelle comes in here, is all easy peasy too. Oh, hi, all confident. Michelle, we can find no one else in the state that can beat your record. Just so you know, this is going to set the record right here. Michelle, okay. How long did it take you to go from marriage to name change?
14 years and 2 months.
14?
Yeah.
That's.
I mean, at that point, why? Yeah. Why did you change it?
There's no point.
Yeah, good point, right?
Most marriages don't last that long. I mean, you know, like what in the world?
What was the situation?
So it's very much like the last caller. My husband kept booking vacations. Mm. So like after we got married, right, he's like, okay, let's go to Disney. Mm-hmm. He books the trip and it's a pain in the butt.
It is, girl.
You know, change things and, you know, proving a name change on an airline ticket is a hassle.
Yeah, sure. You got to bring like your entire file cabinet with you wherever you go.
It's understandable.
Right.
One trip, I understand. Okay. But like, what keeps happening?
He kept booking trips. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I have, you know, no patience for this. So I'm just going to keep the name. But it started, like, you know, kind of getting annoying. You know, my last name's different than all my kids. I just had one that just graduated from high school.
From high school?
Yeah. I was going to say.
I'm like, I think it's time.
It's a vengeance. So that was it. The catalyst was your kid finally graduated from high school and you were like, enough is enough.
Yeah, a little bit.
Enough is
enough.
And
a break from vacations, clearly.
Wow.
A small break. I had a small window
to get it done. And you're like, we should finally catch this up. Right away, did it bother your partner or no? Did he not care?
Sometimes. Like, our dogs are actually under my maiden name.
Oh, your dogs.
Your dogs. So wait, how did that play into account?
So we go to the vet and I would have to check them in.
Oh.
And they would ask your full name and they just call them, you know, dog and my maiden name. Yeah. And my husband would go to pick them up and like
we don't know you. Sorry to this man. We don't know who you are.
Stranger danger.
Oh, no.
So it was time. It was time. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor today to award the world record, at least right here in Maryland, your neighbor, Michelle in Bel Air, takes the record. Longest from marriage until name change goes 14 years. And that's no one's going to be able to beat that.
Thank you
so,
for sharing. Michelle, I really appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks for taking
Jeff,
that.
Don't feel bad, Jeff.
Do you feel a little crazy doing it?
It's about to go down.
Perfect. We want to know everything.
Dish.
Oh.
It's Talk Me Out of It. Please.
With Kramer and Jess.
Mix 106.5.
Okay, Anonymous, we have got you on The Voice Disguiser. What is this crazy idea you got going through your head?
I'm seriously thinking about not allowing my brother to speak at my mother's funeral.
Why not?
Well, he's basically been estranged from the family, especially my mother, for 15 years now.
Oh, wow.
Over a stupid argument over money. Well, it started about money, but I mean, it built from there. And now he wants to show up at her funeral and speak like he's, you know, the precious son who's never done anything wrong and has been there for her. I just can't. Well, my sister and I have taken care of Mom. He didn't come when she got cancer. He didn't send Christmas cards, birthday cards, nothing. And now this?
Well, first off, sorry. I'm sorry to hear about your mom.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
So did they not speak at all, I guess? And there was no community. Obviously, we don't need to really get into like what the argument was about other than over money. But she didn't reach out. He didn't reach out. There was not much of a...
No, they were both very stubborn.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
So for 15 years, nobody said anything. So your brother finds out your mom's passed away. And
he's allowed to come to the funeral, though, right? You just don't want him to speak?
Yeah, he can come. He can even sit up front with the family and grieve like the rest of us. But no, he's not speaking.
And he told you he wants to speak.
Yes.
And are you planning the funeral? Who's planning the funeral?
I am.
You're planning
just like everything else.
And he told you he wants.
Do you think it's something your mom would have wanted? Do you think she would have wanted him to say something?
I honestly don't know. I guess that's part of my issue here. I just don't know what she would have wanted on this.
Why?
That's tough.
Why not give him the opportunity to say something?
Well, I guess he's had plenty of opportunities to speak to her.
I mean, I guess you're not wrong. Like, why not say something, I guess, when he had the chance to, right?
Exactly. When she was alive. He knew she was sick. He knew she was in hospice. But he didn't even call. No letter, nothing.
And you guys told him, obviously. You told him, like, what state she was in. And I'm assuming, at least since they weren't talking, were you reaching out to your brother and letting him know what was going on so he had the opportunity to mend things?
Yes, my sister did more than I did, but yes.
Okay, so he had the information.
Yeah.
When is the funeral?
It's on Saturday.
Okay. Well, let's talk this out. So Anonymous is saying, my mother passed away. Again, I'm sorry to hear it. My brother and her were estranged. There was an argument about 15 years ago. And again, there's two different sides to the story, right? And now, though, that she's passed away, he would like to show up to the funeral and say some things. I don't want him to. I don't really want him to. Even though, like, I'm saying something, you say you're going to speak, right?
Yeah.
And is anybody else speaking?
My sister.
So the two of you are speaking, but he is not. Are there any other siblings?
Just the three of us.
But you're not going to give him the opportunity to speak.
I don't want to.
Is that the right thing to do, considering this is like someone's funeral? You know, and Mom ain't here to really have the final word on this. So 410-583-1065. Jess, did we tell her to go for that or talk her out of it?
The reason why it would make me a little apprehensive about him speaking is because I wouldn't know what kind of speech is he going to give. Because obviously they left their relationship in a bad place. And I feel like what the funeral is not a time and place for is for him to basically talk trash about your mom.
You think
and
he I would think, talk trash?
Well, that's the thing is, like, grief is handled in a lot of different ways and weird ways. And I just feel like everyone's high emotions right now. And there's just no way to regulate or to know what angle he's coming from and like what kind of pain he's in and all that kind of stuff.
I would just hate to like not give somebody. I mean, you know, my family dynamic is kind of weird, right? Like me and my siblings get into it, you know, then we'll right now we're all pretty good, which is a rarity. But I would hate to be in like a moment with a sibling and then not give them the opportunity and like later look back on that and be like, damn it, I wish I wouldn't have like taken that away from them. You're not wrong, but like, are you really the gatekeeper of saying like you can't say goodbye to your mother the way you want to?
I feel like he was given plenty of opportunities.
He was. Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. All right. Anonymous says, my brother was estranged from my mom for 15 years after an argument. They didn't really talk. He had the chance while she was sick to come say something. But now that she passed away, now he wants to show up and give a speech at the funeral. I want to say no. I want to say, do not let this man do this. But did we tell her to go for that or did we talk her out of it? Who's up?
This is Denise in Pasadena on one.
I mean, Denise, she's considering saying, like, listen, I know you're my brother, but like you can't speak at our mom's funeral. Did we tell her to go for that or did we talk her out of it?
You know, I think she's making a mistake. Everybody keeps talking about, like, what this guy didn't do for the last 15 years. And, like, okay, I get it. And he's the one that has to live with that. But he also has to live with the fact that he missed birthdays. Well, he missed holidays.
Right.
He missed precious time with her. And I think that the punishment's really going to carry forever.
But
now she's, like, trying to talk about taking away this like one of the last chances that he has to say goodbye. And I don't know. I don't think that's right.
But I guess I'm thinking more of like the overall feel of the funeral. You know what I mean? Like, is this going to make the thing feel more tense? Is it going to bring up the resentment?
I don't know. I don't think it's about whether a funeral is going to go smooth or not, because you're still going to be sad regardless, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
I don't think it's also about rewarding who was the best person towards this person and whether he was the best son. He wasn't.
Okay.
But it's kind of about honoring the person who passed away. And I think that the sister's kind of acting like giving a speech is like a prize. And I don't think it is. It's just closure.
I mean, that's kind of a good point. Like, you don't, yeah, it's not really about him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really about the mom, right? Like,
but
it's not about her either.
I mean, I don't know. I think from the sister's perspective, I can see them thinking he is making it about him.
I don't think that it's like a contest, but what I do think is that a funeral happens once, right?
Right. Yeah.
If she stops him from doing the speech, she's going to regret that forever. And
yeah.
The funeral, you don't get to redo. There's no do-overs, there's no second chances. So if he gets up there and he makes it about himself, that's kind of on him.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want to give him the opportunity, and I kind of think that's wrong. So if his own mother's funeral isn't the place to say goodbye, then what exactly is he supposed to do with it?
That's a good point. Thank you for calling. I want to talk to Chrissy in Parkville. Chrissy, you've got a pretty interesting perspective because of your profession. What do you do, Chrissy?
I'm a funeral director.
Mm.
So you've seen a couple of these funerals in your lifetime. So what do you think?
Yeah, I've seen a lot. I've had family actually hire security to keep certain family members out. So,
wow.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of dynamics over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I agree with her completely. And funerals, like, you know, we mentioned earlier, they're not about, you know, the people grieving. I mean, they are for the people grieving. You know, I always say death is for, you know, the living to process their grief, but mm-hmm. but like I was saying earlier, there's one emotion stronger than grief, and that is regret. And I tell people all the time, don't wait until your family is dead before you let them know how much you care. Don't buy flowers at the funeral, buy flowers just because, you know.
Dang.
And I tell people that all the time, because once that day comes, and everyone keeps saying, oh, there's only one funeral. Well, there's only one life you live too. People don't think of that.
So,
you know, your parents aren't going to live forever. Your grandparents aren't going to live forever. And people just, they want to push everything to the side until it's too late. And I'm sorry he's going through this, but like the caller said, oh, well, he missed birthdays. Okay, that was on him, though. No one was preventing him from missing these birthdays and these holidays. So I'm sorry, but he's going to have to figure out, get a therapist, figure it out on his own. But, you know, he should not be allowed to speak. This is not about him and his whatever he's got going on.
Mm.
You don't think that sounds, and I say this with all sincerity, but you don't think that sounds a smidge insensitive?
Absolutely not. You know, he had the opportunity. You know, I could see, okay, let's say he was in the military and he couldn't make it. Okay, that's one thing, because something was preventing him. What was preventing him from seeing his mom on her birthday? What was preventing him from calling her on Mother's Day? Nothing. It
or
was
when
his
she was
own
in the
pride.
Hospital or hospice.
And yeah.
And why do you need an audience?
Pride.
What do you need the audience
right,
for?
Exactly.
The audience should have been one, and it should have been her.
Right.
Damn.
And I see that all the time. I've had families come up to me and say, look, you know, I can't believe he's even had the funeral. He didn't care about this person. I've heard that all the time. But now that they're, you know, a person passed away, they use that as a way to get, you know, sympathy from others, or,
oof.
Oh, I get time off work, you know, because, oh, my mom died, even though in reality, you didn't care about your mom. I mean, oof. I'm not trying to be rude, but I see it all the
time.
Yeah,
no, listen, you are more of an expert than we are on this topic. So I'm glad you called. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Hey, Jessica in Baltimore, good morning.
Good morning.
I mean, she wants to tell her brother, listen, you can't speak at our mom's funeral. Do we tell her to go for that, or we talk her out of it?
No, she should definitely not allow him to. This is something that actually happened in my family.
Yeah.
My uncle stopped speaking to my grandparents for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mom also has a sister and a brother, kind of the same dynamic. He knew my grandpa was dying, that he was sick. He lived in the same house, refused to talk to them for 5 years. And when he finally died, he spoke at the funeral, and my aunt walked out.
Oof.
My grandma obviously is still alive. She's healthy, so she allowed him to speak.
Yeah.
But down the line, you know, when my grandma passes, there's no way he's talking at her funeral. I mean, he's not talking to her now.
I'm just so curious, like, what was that speech like? Was it like, because obviously if they didn't have a relationship, like, what was the purpose of him speaking?
He's a narcissist. I really just think that it was to make himself feel better, not really about my grandpa, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It was putting on a show, like, oh, I'm a good son, like, I'm giving a speech, you know, I love my dad. And I don't think that he didn't love him, but he loved his pride and his ego in the way of speaking to his dad in his final days. And what the other caller said, regret is worse than anything else. Like,
yeah.
The punishment that he, Michael and this woman's brother will have is honestly the punishment in the world to me.
So basically, because it's for everybody else. It's for everybody else. It's not right. Really for. It's not really for him. So I. That,
no,
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for calling us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Amy in Bel Air. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, she wants to tell her brother you cannot speak at our mom's funeral. Do we tell her to go for that, or do we talk her out of it?
I would say talk her out of it.
Why?
While I can appreciate and understand her feelings on it.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently lost my mom, and between me and my other siblings, we all had complicated relationships with my mother.
Yeah.
And there were times in my life that I had to stop talking to my mom due to protecting my own peace and my family's peace.
Yeah.
But that didn't mean I didn't love her. It didn't mean I didn't care. It just meant that I couldn't have her in my life at those times.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't think that it's up to anybody's siblings to decide whether or not he should or should not be able to speak at the funeral.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See, that's also fair. I think Jess, we've all gone through phases with our family where we've both you and I both can say that we've stepped back from our family.
No,
so
yeah.
Do we feel like that our
right.
other
and
siblings
with my mom at the end, like my situation was a little different because I got to say goodbye to her before she passed.
Yeah.
But she had regrets, and she was able to voice those to her children. And we don't know if his mom would have done that with him.
Damn, man.
She probably did have regrets, and at the end of the day, he was her son, and I'm sure she loved him.
So
and she would never want him to live with the regret of not being able to get closure.
That's what I'm saying. So why is Anonymous the gatekeeper of this?
Why is she
the gatekeeper?
But I don't see it.
I don't think she's trying to be the gatekeeper.
I don't think so either.
I think she has valid feelings, but I think that regardless of those feelings, she needs to allow it to happen. And you know what? If he makes it about him, I agree with the funeral person that it's on him. But she could be stealing away his only opportunity to get closure, and I don't think that that's right.
Okay, we hear that. Thank you for calling us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Amy, and I'm so sorry about your mom.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, I mean, what do you want to do? Does this advice help at all? I mean, do you... I don't know if it helps solve anything, but, like, do you want
to... I still am not really sure. You know, some people seem to be agreeing with me that he shouldn't be allowed to speak, and
sure.
then... You know, there's had some pretty valid reasons that I should let him speak.
Right.
I'm still really torn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of, just in general, even without the situation, I feel like you have a lot to process right now. You've got time to think about it. I think maybe something you just talk to your family about too, you know, and.
That's true. So the pressure isn't just on you and your sister.
Right. It's something you guys can kind of like think about together and make a family decision of what's best for everybody involved. You know, we do something called a Talk Me Out of It update where we check back in with people from the previous week. Listen, I know you're going through a lot right now. By no means would you need to call us back and be on that segment on Monday, but would you want to check back in with us? Clearly, it's going to be a heavy weekend, so you would by no means need to, but would that be something that you would want to be a part of?
Yeah, I will. I mean, you've taken the time and your listeners have. I would like to do that.
Okay. Well, listen, it's up to you. We'll be here 8:25 Monday, and we'll find out kind of what went down with you guys this weekend. But either way, listen, we love you, and we're sending you guys a lot of strength this weekend, no matter what happens at the funeral, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Make sure you subscribe to get the show daily.
And if you think we've earned it, give us 5 stars.
Hear Kramer and Jess live every morning on Mix 106.5 Baltimore.
And check out the Kramer and Jess Uncensored podcast at KramerandJess.com.